Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, coming to you from a hotel room in Salt Lake City after the Thunder's 100-95 loss to the Utah Jazz. With me on the line is Joe Masato, making his Thunder Buddies debut. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to make my debut. I'm in my it's my Darius Bazley performance on the Thunder Buddies podcast.
Brand new, 19.
Well, a little older than 19, but we'll go with that.
Joe Masato's 19. He's just a savant.
Yeah.
He already graduated college at like 15 years old.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think how much older we are than Darius Bazley, actually. I mean, props to Darius Bazley for being the first guy I mentioned tonight and for cracking the rotation.
It is not easy to be the first mentioned on the podcast after putting up 0 points, 0-for-3 from the field, but he did get 3 rebounds. Let's not turn this into drag Darius Bazley time on the podcast. Darius Bazley has impressed a lot in preseason, yeah, and he's going to be a really good player. And the fact that he made it into the rotation, he played 19 minutes, 19:15 tonight. Thunder is definitely excited about him. He's going to get playing time. We're going to get to watch his development over the course of the season, which will be really exciting because he has a lot of unique skills for someone of his size. So, you know, it's his first NBA game. I'm not going to continue.
There's plenty of time.
Exactly. I'm not going to continue dragging him. Also, he scored only, 3 points less than Steven Adams. So, you know.
That's something.
It is what it is. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so where should we... Let's start with your first impressions on... It's your first game covering the Thunder, and you're doing it from home, but you still got the experience of watching and writing about a brand new team trying to figure things out. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely my first game watching them from this standpoint. I think I was impressed. Didn't expect much from the Thunder in this game, just seeing as though they're trying to fit in it. So many young parts, and not only young parts, but even their veterans like Chris Paul and Danilo Gallinari. I mean, they haven't played with this group. So I was interested to see how that went. And then, you know, going into Utah, only losing by 5, having a lead, for much of the second half and early in that fourth quarter, thought it was a pretty impressive game for the season opener. And, you know, think a lot of, you know, Thunder fans know it'll probably be a long season, but I think a lot of people were encouraged with this result.
Yeah, I think they came out in surprise. I think definitely me, probably the Jazz, especially after like the worst first quarter to date. So, I mean, if that caught the Jazz sleeping, I do not blame them. The Thunder scored 12 points in the first quarter. It was 23-12, which, granted, the Jazz should have absolutely taken advantage of the Thunder's poor play more in that first quarter and gotten up by more. But still, you look up after the first quarter and it's 23-12, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be a long game.
But yeah, I mean, you're looking around and you're like, who's gonna score for this team? And then you know, you were there. Second quarter, they just went off. Almost tripled their score from the first quarter in the second.
Yeah, no, it was insane. So they start a lineup, speaking of Darius Bazley, of Bazley, Chris Paul, Mike Muscala, who was a surprise addition to the... Not that I didn't think he was going to get in the rotation, but I certainly didn't think he was going to get as many minutes in the first half as he did, Hamidou Diallo. Is that 5? Am I missing someone?
I think you got, yeah, it was, I don't know if you said Schroeder, but I think he was Dennis out there Schroeder. As well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a weird lineup.
It was a weird lineup. And a weird, this doesn't quite, this is a little counterintuitive, that putting Muscala out there as a guy who can space the floor helped, even though he didn't make his threes. He and Chris Paul got off to some really nice, their pick and pop chemistry looked fantastic, and he got three open threes and missed them all, but that still has an effect on the way the team can play defense on you. And Mike Muscala traditionally is a much better three-point shooter than he was tonight, and so to have that threat actually was able to open up the floor for the Thunder, and even though it wasn't effective from a scoring standpoint, it'll be interesting to see how that develops throughout the season when he gets a better feel for his shot, presumably.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, that was a smart thing to pick up on. You know, Chris Paul and Mike Muscala seem to have that little two-man game working a little. I mean, it was classic Chris Paul, because he's so good at finding the soft spots, mm-hmm. kind of in the middle of the paint, where it looks like he could either throw up a floater, and then sometimes he just throws it behind him, basically, where Mike Muscala was waiting at the top of the three-point line for some open looks, didn't make them. But Chris Paul, he was really good tonight. I mean, he shot it well from three. He got into the middle of the defense and was able to facilitate from there. It was interesting to see how, you know, we've talked about this three-point guard lineup for so long. They didn't really play three-point guards at the same time until the very end.
Yeah, no, they started out with Terrence Ferguson got the start, and he had a rough game on both ends of the floor. I don't know what was going on with him there, I guess.
No field goal attempts for Terrence Ferguson.
No, which is wild. And then he was having trouble. I mean, Donovan Mitchell's a tough guy to guard, but I mean, we've seen Terrence Ferguson step up and guard the best offensive players all last season, or at least most of last season, on the opposing teams. But tonight he just looked lost.
Yeah, I actually thought, you know, Ferguson was, you know, I mean, Donovan Mitchell took advantage of him, especially in the second half. He kind of was invisible offensively, again, didn't take a shot. Someone mentioned this during the game, how, you know, so many of Terrence Ferguson's looks last year, especially on those corner threes, came from just Westbrook being so ferocious and getting into the lane and kicking out. And you wonder, where are those shots going to come from now for Terrence Ferguson without a guy to really do that? But as far as, like, defending on the wing, I thought Diallo actually played Donovan. I mean, no one was really playing Donovan Mitchell great today, sure. But I thought Diallo did the best job out there.
Yeah, he has really come along since last season. And that wasn't necessarily something that I expected. And that's no knock on him, but it just, I don't think anyone expected that from Terrence Ferguson either in his first year. Yeah. And so you've seen both of these guys take big leaps defensively in their second season, which for a team like the Thunder, that like a lot has changed since last year, and a lot has changed about their identity on both sides of the ball. They're playing a lot more drop coverage than they have in the past, when Stephen Adams really was being aggressive on defense and up in, you know, with that, the ball handler and all that. But the Thunder still needs to rely on its defense, especially when presumably it's not only going to have to go through this stage of everyone figuring each other out, but then we'll probably also have some trades mid-season have to go through the process again. So the Thunder's still honing in on defense and has spent a lot of time on defense in the preseason. And so to have they have a shortage of wings who have starting experience. So, and they're playing lots of weird lineups. So you get a lot of point guards playing wing and this, that, and the other. But if they want to not take a step back when they get to, you know, get to the second unit, they need guys like Hamidou Diallo to take that next step defensively, and he's really shown that he's been able to do that this spring or this summer.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was interesting how Billy sort of implemented some of his late game rotations. At first, I was about to type this in my five takeaways that Diallo had basically replaced Terrence Ferguson in the closing lineup. It looked like he was going to go with him to finish the game. And I think with a few minutes left, Ferguson subbed back in. And then they had a lot of like frequent substitutions down the stretch, maybe trading offense for defense and who's going to guard Donovan Mitchell. But I think you're right. I mean, that wing evolution is going to be interesting to follow because they're so short on those types of guys to where Diallo and Ferguson, like, they really need one of, I mean, Ferguson obviously has the longer pedigree and, you know, played well at times last season, but Diallo looks like a guy who could sort of challenge him to be in games in kind of key situations.
Yeah, and tonight Diallo was much more of a threat offensively. He did a good job getting to the basket. We still haven't seen much of a, you know, much perimeter shooting from him, but, and you know, last year there was the progression of him coming in and him having all these super athletic plays, and then he hit the rookie wall and teams began to figure him out, and you know, he lost his spot in the rotation. So, but he's talked a lot about how this summer he's figured out how to hone his athleticism, and you know, I think he said something like, before I was doing these things just to do them essentially, and now he's figured out how to hone his athleticism, especially on defense. So if he can keep that up and keep getting to the basket at the rate that he is, you know, he has a chance to, especially if they start training guys and things keep moving around, he has a chance to push for some time with that starting lineup potentially.
Yeah, I think his deal is, I think this was in the first quarter, maybe early second, there was basically a two-man fast break, and it was Diallo and Baisley, and it ended in a turnover. I think Baisley fell down or something, and it was just sort of out of control. And that's kind of where, like, you would expect Baisley and Diallo to be, but it shows something about this team that, you know, they have plenty of opportunities to make those mistakes. I mean, this doesn't, you know, it's one game in, but, you know, this isn't a team that many people have making the playoffs, so there's plenty of opportunities for those young guys. And speaking of young guys, again, I'm the Darius Baisley of this podcast, so I don't know where I'm going with it. But I feel like we should mention Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That guy? The guy who scored a career high 26 points?
Yeah. Shout out.
He figured some things out offensively, especially in that second quarter. And he talked about after the game how them being able to get out in transition and get the Jazz on their heels really opened up some scoring opportunities for him. But yeah, I mean, to score a career high in points in your first game, we're not going to take too, like, go too far with these first impressions here, but like,
right.
It's a pretty nice thing to start your, I mean, granted, he would have obviously loved to win, but not a bad way to start your second season and your first year with a new franchise.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, 26 points, didn't shoot the ball especially well. I mean, 10 of 23, 3 of 7 from 3 is not bad. Only turned it over one time, which is encouraging. So, yep. You know, he had a good Thunder debut. Obviously, the career high in points is going to highlight it. I think it's just, you know, so interesting how he is seen is, you know, probably the franchise cornerstone moving forward. And it's so interesting to sort of contrast his game to the way the Thunder's played, especially at that position, with just the up and down and just explosiveness that Westbrook played with. And Shea has like that old man's game where he's not very fast, but he's like throws up those scoop shots that hit high off the glass, and he's just so lanky. He seems to get by people even though he's not especially quick. He's just got such a unique game, I feel like.
Yeah, he gets by people with that change in speed. That's where he's on. And he straight up said during preseason, I know I'm not the fastest end to end, so I have to make it up in other ways. And that's what he's figured out, is that craftiness with the change in speed, and that'll get people. And you had Donovan Mitchell, even like unprompted, it was like a general question, and he mid answer was like, but I have to give a shout out to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because his game has really improved, and he said that he thinks that a lot of people are sleeping on him, but that he's improved, that he, I think his words were he went off or something like that. So
he did do that.
He certainly did. Yeah, I mean, if you're catching Donovan Mitchell's eye enough for him to just bring you up out of the blue, pretty good. I mean, obviously there are things that he can clean up, but I think the scoring wise, the most encouraging thing is that he was scoring in a variety of ways, and so he's going to be a guy who's hard to. You know, if you take one thing away, he has something else to throw at you.
Mm-hmm. How do you think they're going to, you know, if he's like the point guard of the future, but he's not playing point guard right now. I mean, he was in there when I don't think there was ever a moment when he wasn't in with another of the point guards. It was always Schroeder or Chris Paul in with him. Like, that's something that's going to be normal, or do you think he could eventually man that spot at some point?
I think for at least while both Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder are here, I think you're going to see a lot of multiple point guard lineups. I'm assuming that the Thunder will want to get, you know, some of all three of the point guards ideally at, you know, playing in more traditional lineups with a point guard at times. But I think what the Thunder will probably do, and even last year you saw a lot of two-point guard lineups with Westbrook and Schroeder. Obviously not as many, because once you have three, you have a lot more pieces moving around. But I'd anticipate, granted, like, this team keeps surprising me, but I'd anticipate them doing a lot of multiple point guard lineups and relying on there being times in those that even though Shea's the younger player, that he's still going to have the ball in his hands. Because there are times when, you know, Chris Paul will make a effort to get the ball to Shea early and let him play make. And same with Dennis Schroeder. And Shea's never going to be the guy when Chris Paul is on the floor, but he's going to get some opportunities. And I think as he gets more comfortable in his role, he'll also get more comfortable at demanding some of those opportunities. And the veterans are going to be happy to give him them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't look like a thing where he's uncomfortable, you know, playing that spot, playing off ball. I think he did it some last year with the Clippers. Yeah. So, you know, it'll just be interesting. And I think you're right. Like, it depends, you know, when and if Paul and Schroeder get moved and what his position looks like. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I learned a lot just by watching, you know, just this one game and seeing who's playing where and what these rotations look like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely an interesting question from a development standpoint. Like, do you need a point guard to play a lot of point guard to develop at point guard, or is there value to him, you know, taking on different roles and figuring those out? And I guess we'll see. Let's see. we've done first impression. I kind of gave my first. Basically, all that was our first impressions. Anything that we haven't hit on that was particularly surprising for you?
I don't know if it's surprising because Gobert is just such a monster inside, but it was, you know, Steven Adams just seemed to really struggle around the rim tonight.
He really did. I cannot think of a game that I've all of last year. I mean, someone stop me if I'm wrong, where he scored only 3 points and was, you know, in the game.
Yeah, 1 of 8 and 1 of 6. I mean, those I know he's not a great free throw shooter, but it looked even rougher than last year, it seems, than in years past. Just
and then in
comfort at the free throw line.
Like in the preseason, he was like maybe a 50%. I don't quote me on that, but something around there, 50, 60. Mm-hmm. He was not 1 of 6. He looks surprisingly uncomfortable all game, especially because we've seen him really take ownership of the offense in the preseason and really stand out as a guy who's going to carry this team forward and lead this team. And we've seen him have really impressive matchups with Rudy Gobert in the past. And so, yeah, no, that was absolutely surprising to me. I thought this was going to be a marquee matchup between those two centers, and neither of them was impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stat lines. Like Adams is Terrence Ferguson basically not being a factor offensively.
Dennis Schroeder
was also, I mean, Adams and Schroeder combined to go 2 of 16.
Yeah, that's it's not good. But and then you look at their shooting percentage, their field goal percentage was 38.6%. Granted, the Jazz did not, like, the Jazz definitely did them some favors and only shot 44.4% from the field and 25% from three. But my goodness, that needs to get cleaned up. They need to go through just a finishing clinic.
Yeah, finishing school. It was a really rough shooting night, and it was what was it like in the arena when, like, so speaking of another weird stat line, Mike Conley in his debut goes 1 of 16 for the Jazz. I thought it was kind of cool though when he was at the free throw line late and he's trying to like pump up the crowd, and he was just like, you know, on TV they had a close up on his face, but he was just like laughing it off. It was just sort of a rough night for Mike Conley.
It was definitely a rough night for him. But everyone post game, even Chris Paul got asked about it, Billy Donovan got asked about it, and they're both like, he's proven himself, like he's gonna be fine. It's just a weird night. And so I mean, when you've been in the league for this long and done what he's done, you've built up enough acumen for no one to be worried about a night like this. And he's built the point that Billy Donovan made was he's with a new group. It's not that surprising that he didn't have a great night. My words, it's surprising that he had as bad of a shooting night as he did. But it sounds like his opponents aren't worried. His teammates, the fans, he'll be fine. It'll be interesting to see how he integrates into this team. And, you know, I think we're all expecting him to be a huge factor in pushing the Jazz into and far into the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It was a weird sight seeing just seeing Chris Paul and Mike Conley, two of the premier and also aging point guards in the league, just with their new teams in different uniforms. It was just kind of weird to see.
Yeah, that right there sums up the summer. Everyone moved.
Yep.
All right. Well, unless there's anything else pressing, do you have anything else?
I don't have anything
else
pressing. I mean, I feel like we could go on and on about just other weird things that happen, but we'll be able to do that throughout the season. you know, got another game, two home games Friday and Sunday, see how things shake out. But
yeah,
I think we about covered it from this
follow
one.
Some trends. All right, well, do you want to wrap up with a little background on you and how you got to this beat and all of that? And hopefully, apparently, I literally just changed the batteries on a little inside baseball, just changed the batteries on our podcast kit right before we came on, and something about doing the phone drains them real quick. So we're on one little thing of battery left, so hopefully we'll make it through.
I'll make it quick, and if like the batteries die during my little introduction, then it's just good for everyone. But anyway, yeah, so I'm Joe Masato. I'm the strange voice you're hearing on the Thunder Buddies podcast, and I'm super excited to be covering the Thunder with Maddie. And so basically we just had some staff shake up. Eric Horn, who did such an awesome job for us on this beat, went on to The Athletic.
You can hear his goodbye if you go to the last podcast, and
yes.
And neither him or
guys,
I cried.
That was so emotional.
We definitely did not cry. There were no tears.
Yeah, they were composed.
But
they
just
were just
so composed and brief and yeah, no wavering of voices at all.
Yeah, so it's going to be really tough to follow Eric and sort of how you guys were rolling last year, but I'm excited to sort of step in after a year and not quite a year and a half on the OU beat. But then before that I was in Kentucky where I covered Hamidou Diallo and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for a year, so kind of cool to be covering them again, but just really excited to be on the Thunder beat with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to work with you, and you have, you know, already done some great work, wrote our essentially game preview for today, focusing on Steven Adams, which maybe hasn't aged as well as we expected.
No 3-point attempts for Steven Adams, but I did write about Steven Adams taking threes,
which so it's relevant for the season, just not for tonight.
It's relevant.
Yeah,
we'll
no,
push it whenever he makes his first three.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, remember when we wrote this?
Yeah, we were just early.
just ahead of the curve. Yeah, no, yeah. But you've done some amazing work for us on the OU beat, and I'm excited to add your wealth of basketball knowledge to the podcast and our coverage, and I'm excited to tell a lot of cool stories with you throughout
the
season.
Yeah, no, me too. I think that's what we're both excited about, sort of telling the stories of all these new guys and how they fit and who might be here at the end of the season, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, well, that'll do it for our first, for our season opener, our first podcast of the season, of the regular season. And up next, the Thunder is headed back home. Home opener will be against Washington on Friday, so we will get back with you after that game. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, like it, love it, share it with your grandparents, your parents, your pets, your neighbors, and we will see you next time.